Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. Let me try that again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23 reads this way. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you again for the blessing of assembling together in your house, in your church, and asking you, Lord, for the blessing of the guidance of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you tonight, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, that you would build up your church here at Northwood Baptist Church for your honor and glory, and all your churches tonight. May you bless them as well. We'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is "Be Preserved Blameless." And we found that there in our verse 23. Be preserved blameless. And this has the idea of an opportunity. We can be preserved blameless, but we can be preserved blameless. And that is an opportunity. That doesn't mean it's automatic. It's the possibility is there, and the provision has been made for that to take place. And so what we have basically before us tonight is an opportunity that we can experience in our lives by faith, and that is God's preservation to be blameless when we stand before Him. And that's a work that He wants to do in our lives on this side of eternity. So I want to look at a couple of things, and I want you to see the order of our being, right? How we're made up of, or how we're made up in the order, in fact, in the exact order of interest in the mind and heart of God. Look what it says in verse 23. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you, not partially, but completely, wholly," right? Do you see that? Not wholly as in sanctified, although that is part of the process, but completely right there. So it is the very God of peace sanctify you, set you apart completely, holy, and I pray, God, your whole... Notice this order right here. First of all, your spirit. That's lowercase s there. So that does involve your spirit. At different times, it also refers to the Holy Spirit. Remember what I've said in the past? God wants our spirit to be so intertwined and intermingled with His spirit that you can't tell the difference, right? Many times Paul says, "I speak as a man," and God put it right in the canon of Scripture, and every word is the word of God in the Bible, right? But Paul thought, but he was so led by the Spirit, he says, "Now I just want you to know, I want to reason with you, and I'm just speaking from myself." Oh no, listen, he was so intertwined with the Holy Spirit that God put it right into the word of God, which is a good thing, right? So he says, first of all, your whole person, the spirit, notice, and then your soul, and then our body be preserved blameless. Now what happens is, and I'll just try to get through this quickly, before salvation, what is the world promoting? The body. Is the soul there? Maybe sometimes. The spirit, well, the world doesn't even know the spirit because it's dead, spiritually speaking, to the things of God. And so you find here that God is wanting us to be led by the Spirit, our spirit with the Holy Spirit, that our soul might understand, because that's who we are. That's, you know, when somebody leaves this life as a child of God, their soul is ushered up into heaven, right? Who they are, the person that looks out of these windows that we call eyes, and out of the vehicle that we call this body that we use to maneuver around on this side of eternity, the physical being, the body is ultimately the last thing in the heart and mind of God. It's just the vehicle that we use to get around in life. So more important than the body is the spirit, and then the soul, and of course, then the physical body, because it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So there is some importance to it. But the world promotes that the very first thing. You know, they put that right out there first. And you hear it oftentimes, and I may have been guilty of saying it myself. You know, this tragedy happens, and they say some attribute, some physical attribute. Oh, and they were so pretty, you know, or they were so handsome. But you know what? God sees us all as valuable, regardless of what our physical appearance is. And sometimes I think the world promotes you know, the physical aspect first. So that's the order. And then by the way, there's only 2 points tonight. There are 3 sub-points to the last one here. But anyway, the second point is the promise of our preservation. Do you remember the title of the message, of course, is Be Preserved Blameless. We have the opportunity, but more than the ability, because it's not in us. God has presented to you and I, as children of God, the opportunity to be preserved blameless. And this is important, and I want to challenge you sometime this week to go back and read through this chapter, chapter 5, and see if the Lord will reveal more to you. But back up with me to verse 1 here of chapter 5. And again, this is the promise of our preservation. And under that, subpoint A, we'll say, is the sudden destruction, or really what we've been spared. Again, the idea is that we can be preserved blameless. We ought to be, and I think we are thankful for that. And then God says, on top of that salvation, I've also equipped you with the ability of being preserved blameless on this side so that you can stand to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when you stand before the Lord. But look at verse 1. It says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then what? Sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, just from my brief knowledge, I don't have personal experience in this, but when a woman is ready to be delivered, they carry on through that day. They don't know that it's coming. They might have some idea that it's soon, but then it comes on all of a sudden, and now you have to take care of business now, right? I was reminded when we were going to church, there was a lady in our church that we were at, and this doctor knew she had delivered 2 boys previously, and when the doctor heard, she said, I called, and when the nurse said who I was, he said, get her to the hospital now because she delivers fast. You know, we don't want that taking place somewhere on route, so hurry up and get her. And get her there. And so it comes on all of a sudden, is what he's saying. This destruction is, and by the way, everything appears to be a good thing. And so people get worried about with what's going on today. And yet I don't hear anybody saying peace and safety. Do you? So there might be, I don't know what the day or the hour is. I'm not going to even pretend to try to guess what it is. But God is saying when they say peace and safety, then at that time, sudden destruction comes. And they shall not escape is what verse 3 says. Then notice this. We are children of light, right? This is what we've been given. Look at verse 4. But ye brethren, now he's not talking to pastors. He's not talking to deacons. He's not talking to Sunday school teachers. He's talking to the brethren, which includes the sisters as well, right? Brothers and sisters. It's talking to the family of God. And so he says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Isn't that good? That day should overtake you as a thief. God never intended for this to surprise the child of God. Ye are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, because of that, notice, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. In other words, he's saying, be actively engaged in your relationship with God. Now, we are actively engaged in life, in this earthly life, but do not neglect to be actively engaged in your personal relationship with the Lord. Now, your personal relationship with the Lord does include church, but your personal relationship with the Lord includes your everyday moment-by-moment life, right? The places you go, the things you see, the things you do, all these things involve your personal relationship with the Lord. So, he wants us to know and wants us to be sober and to be careful, because verse 7 says, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, the brethren, the believers, who are of the day, right, the children of God, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Now, how do you do that? I'm not going to give you the answer just yet, all right? You might have some ideas, but how do you, this is what God says we can do, right? You are a child of God. He wants you to put on the breastplate of faith and love, listen, and for an helmet of the hope of salvation. Does God want us to have these things? God doesn't want us to be hopeless, does he? And helpless. He saved us to give us hope, right? And so, you know the answer. Sometimes we misunderstand it, and it's all going to make sense. But notice verse 9, and this is the blessing here, because we're children of light. Verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, we are not going to suffer the wrath of God. Do you believe that? All right, that's important. And then in considering that, verse 10 says, we obtain salvation in verse 9 by our Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ is important for salvation, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. That's important. Whether we are alive or whether we go on to be with the Lord, our life is with him. The life of salvation is with the Lord. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, is it not? Him in us and us in him. And then the last thought, and this is a step of faith in God's great faithfulness. So God wants us to be preserved blameless. And here's the answer, ready? You knew the answer already, but I want to just say it. It's a step of faith, not in your strength, not in my strength. It's a step of faith in God's great faithfulness. Doesn't that take a load off? Is God faithful? So the child of God should never be sweating. You know what I'm not saying we don't suffer, but as far as us being preserved blameless, that's a work of God. We didn't save ourselves, did we? And isn't that a relief? Aren't you so glad you will never experience the condemnation of God because of God's great faithfulness? God's great faithfulness, not ours. That same faithfulness, God wants to help us experience the preservation of God that we might stand blameless before the Lord. Now, that's a step of faith also. When you got saved, you said, I understand my condemnation, and I'm going to put my faith, my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment you did that, however you did it, because I think it's personal with every believer, but you came to the understanding that you are condemned and that Jesus died for you, and however you experience you trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that he saved you. Isn't that true? You'll never come under the condemnation of God ever again. You're not guilty. You have been given the righteousness of Christ. Is that true? Okay. And you did no work for it. That's important because we have a nature that says, no, 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 no. I've got to do something. That's our nature, right? Listen, it is easier to give than to receive. Do you believe that? It is. Is it not awkward when somebody gives or does something for you? Is it not awkward? And you're kind of like, you know, why? You didn't have to do that. In fact, this is kind of awkward. Well, what is it going to be like for us? In fact, it's kind of, how would you say, honoring for sure. And you think like, wow, I really, you know, you didn't really need to do that. But yet what the person is saying is, I appreciate you. And I'm thankful for you. And we have to let people do that. Especially as believers, because God has done that for us, right? And don't we feel the same way about the Lord? Lord, surely you didn't have to do that for me, but thank you that you did. Okay, so watch this now, watch. Verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So the believers are already doing this, and I think we at Northwood Baptist Church do this. To one degree or another, there's a Spirit of God in this place, truly, in Northwood Baptist Church, as we sung just a moment ago. Because I think God's people here at Northwood Baptist Church realize and understand the grace of God and are thankful for it, and that opens us up to receive more of the blessings of God. And so with that thought, he's saying, listen, I want you to comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Now listen, the Bible, so he's talking about pastors, but he's not talking over you like a ruler dictates. There's just simply a pastor and Sunday school teachers that open up the Word of God, but we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not over one another, and in fact, you know that they may do it, and it's not a grief to them to do it. In other words, it's not a frustration. It's not a labor. It's not like knocking your head up against the wall because they're not getting it. They're not understanding it. It's basically what he's saying here, that you might do it in such a way. Notice verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love. Did you see that? So in love, you're already loving them, but to do that in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. So he's saying, get along, enjoy the Spirit of God in you as a family of God in the body of believers here at Northwood Baptist Church specifically. Notice this, verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. That's a good thing, isn't it? I think we experience that here at Northwood Baptist Church. Be patient with them. You know, have you ever had a bad day? Ever had a rough day? And God says, you know, everybody has a rough day. And so he knows that. Be patient, be kind, because people might be having a rough day. And then notice this, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, that's saved or lost. Now, this is a tall order. So here's the question, how do we do this? How do we do, and God's going to give us the answer here, but notice, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. Is it possible for a believer to render evil to another believer? Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, but yeah. Is it possible for a believer to render evil to a lost person? Yeah, it is. And God's saying, don't do that. So how do we do that? Keep that thought in mind. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men, right? The lost too, to all mankind. Do this. How do we do that? This is the question that I want you to keep asking yourself. Rejoice evermore. That's sometimes hard to do, isn't it? In our strength, it's hard to do. So how are we to do this that we might be preserved blameless? Pray without ceasing. That's easy to do, really. You're praying when you're in the car talking to God. You're praying. And that's a good place to pray. Amen? Especially in traffic time. It's a good time to pray and ask God. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. That's sometimes hard to do as well. And how do you do that? Quench not the Spirit. We're capable of doing that. How do you quench not the Spirit? Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. That sometimes is doesn't happen too easily, does it? Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the easy thing in that regard is because it's destructive. Now, here it is. Ready? And here's how we do all these things that God has asked us to do. And we ought to be examining ourselves whether or not we're following and keeping these things. Because God's going to give us the answer on how this is accomplished. And sometimes it's not happening because we're not doing it God's way. And the very God of peace, verse 23, sanctify you. Remember, holy, all of you, not just part of you, not just your spirit, but, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. Now, boy, he just threw everything in there, didn't he? Your whole being unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, to that specific time. Do you follow me so far? Do you follow what God is saying in his word? All of that, all of your spirit, your soul, and your body can be preserved blameless. I didn't say sinless perfection, but don't use that as an excuse to not attempt what God is asking us to do. So all these things, we're supposed to rejoice evermore, we're supposed to pray without ceasing, we're supposed to be kind, and then he tells us how to do it. Watch this, look at verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also, what? Who's going to do it? Now, how do you do that? You put faith in God, not in yourself. If you put faith in yourself, you are never going to do it. And I've said this before, but it bears repeating. The reason why you will never do it is because if you do succeed, then you're going to praise yourself. Not going to praise God. If you approach the Lord and you know this, Lord, I know I can't do it. Haven't you failed enough to learn to get that lesson? Let me ask you this, and you don't answer, just answer in your own heart. How many times have you said, Lord, make me stronger so that I can overcome this, and you don't overcome it? I promise you this, every time you ask God, you're going to get the same answer, failure. Because God is not trying to make you stronger. He's trying to get us to look to Him. And so here's what we have to say, Lord, I can't do that. But bless God, I believe and help my unbelief to believe that you can deliver me and preserve me blameless. Soul, my spirit, my soul, and my body until the day of Christ. Do you see the difference? So now, when I overcome something, do you think I'm saying, I did it? Uh-uh. No, because I know every time I've done it, I have failed. Oh, I might be straining and surviving for about 5 minutes, and then I crash and burn because I'm not looking to Jesus. I'm looking to God making me stronger instead of relying upon the strength of the Lord. There's freedom in that. You know what it's like to get out of the driver's seat and say, okay, Lord, you take over. You take over. How would you like to travel to your, and I'm going to close with this. How would you like to travel to your dream destination? As long as it's not in Columbia, Missouri. Where would you like to go? People say Hawaii. People say Europe. Where's another great place to go? The Swiss Alps, right? And so you're invited to go. They drive you to the airplane, and they say, here's the airplane. Get in it and fly it to wherever you want to go. Would you get behind the cockpit and try to figure out which one's the gas? Would you not rather a pilot take you there that knows what they're doing? Because you probably won't get off the ground right. Probably. I don't think I will. Too many buttons, right? So why in the world, when God says, I'll take you there, it's my trip anyway, why do we push Him out of the driver's seat and say, help me do it, God? Instead of saying, I'm tired of this. I can't even get off the ground. Forget about getting in the air. I can't even get off the ground. I look at that and I'm overwhelmed, and God says, well then, how about you take a passenger seat and let me do the driving? And I'll take you where you need to go. Can you put your trust in that? And you don't have to worry about it anymore. And God says, I'll take you there. So tonight, we can rest assured, we can let God take us there. Being preserved blameless by the God who saved us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the wisdom, the understanding that it brings, the freedom, Lord, the rest that we can rest in and walk in daily, because you, Lord, are the doer of every good thing, and all we need to do is put our faith in your great faithfulness to get us where you want us to go. We ask that you bless the rest of the time as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.